So my little topic here this morning won't be too long, but it's about compassion. And you guys are going to need a lot of it this morning because, you know, I'm talking. And Jay and Kathy are up in Red Bluff, and so he's doing a speaking up there. So he asked me if I would do the message here this morning. So here I am. And my beautiful wife helped me out. She looked up this little thing here in the dictionary, Nelson's Bible.
Speak more into the microphone.
Can't hear me?
There you go.
Better?
Better.
It's too close. There you go. How's that? All right? Okay. Because I have to see, so. Anyways, my wife looked up. I'm not that bad yet, I hope. I have a dictionary Bible at home, Nelson's Dictionary, Illustrated Dictionary Bible, and my wife looked this up, and it says the dictionary was mercy, the aspect of God's love that causes him to help the miserable. So are you miserable this morning? Well, we were at one time, weren't we? Just as grace is the aspect of his love that moves him to forgive the guilty, those who are miserable may be so either because of breaking God's law or because of the circumstances beyond their control. And we were all there at one time in our lives, right? We were all there one time in our lives. So I know at one time I was miserable. I didn't know it, but I was, you know, until God saved me. And he brought me out, and he showed me. And just like that last song that Andy and Chris sang, he's an amazing God, you know. I was working in the gas station, right? I was miserable, but I didn't know it. Then the next morning, the owner's son came to work there. And the first thing he asked me is if I ever heard of the four spiritual laws. I didn't know what it really was. And I said, you mean that booklet up on the shelf? And he goes, yeah. And I go, yeah, I read it last night, but I didn't really understand it. So he invited me to church. I went to church with him, and they did the four spiritual laws in Sunday school. It was a Baptist church, and everybody goes to Sunday school before the service. And as they started to read it, and I saw the cross across the canyon. I don't know if you've ever seen this book, but it shows a picture of a big canyon. And it shows God on this side and man on this side. Man's trying to get to God, but he can't because there's no way across that canyon. And then you turn to the next page, and it shows the same canyon, man and God, but now it has the cross across the canyon. And it just clicked in my brain that it was through Jesus that I reached God. And, you know, and I accepted the Lord that morning, and my life has never been the same. Even though I've gone through trials and things like that, it's really changed because God's compassion on me and his mercy for me, you know. And he brought me to a place in my life where I could understand the simplicity of the cross, you know. And it is. The cross is simple when you understand it, right? Anyways, God shows compassion towards those who have broken his law. And that's where we were, right? Every one of us, we have broken his law at one time of our lives, and we probably still do. I know I never do, but, you know, yeah. And in my life, it's because I'm a renegade, okay? I don't just do things because people say, do it. You know what I mean? I do it because I want to do it. And when I get that way, that critical way in my life, God puts the hook on me. But he doesn't just slap you or beat you. He does it in a loving way that makes you realize and understand, and then you want to. That's the difference. You're not forced to, but you want to, right? You want to serve him. You want to obey him, right? In Daniel 9, verse 9, the Lord our God belong mercy and forgiveness, for we have rebelled against him. And here we are rebelling, and he still has that mercy and that love for us and that comforting, you know. And he might bring people in your life to do it. He might bring a circumstance in your life to do it, but he's going to do it one way or the other. And it's up to us, right, to do that. And we also need to be compassionate and loving to our brothers and sisters. You know, we see the need. God's pushing, touching our heart, and we see a need in their lives, whether it be a physical need, a mental, whatever the case might be. God wants us to do it, you know, when he's telling us to, not when we think we should. You know, we want God to direct our lives, our paths, everywhere we go. So, you know, God's a loving God. And it just amazes me, because when I push the envelope, it comes right back in my face. You know, when I told my wife I liked her, she jumped right in my face and said, no, I'm not ready for that relationship. You know, and that's just one example in my life. And then when I went back to God, he goes, well, I didn't tell you to go tell her that. You know, because you do what I tell you to do, and I'll take care of her. And that's what we need to do in each other's lives. As husbands and wives, the two become one. And when we're that way, I know with my wife, and that's the only example I can give you, with her and I, we think alike, a lot alike. And we say things sometimes all the time that is the same thing, you know. It just comes. And we think that way, because we're paying attention to the Lord at that particular time in our lives. But there is times when it goes the other way, you know. You try to bend a horseshoe, but it doesn't bend. And so you got to heat it up, right? You got to put the fire to it, God's fire to it, and then you can bend that horseshoe, you know. So we just need to take care of that in our lives. And there's a lot of other scriptures in here and stuff like that, you know, about although such mercy is selective, demonstrating that it is not deserved, God's mercy on the miserable extends beyond punishment that is withheld. The punishment keeps us from hell, but it does not get us into heaven. God's mercy is greater than this. You know, see? It doesn't get us into heaven. It's Jesus that gets us into heaven, right? It's God's love and God's mercy that gets us into heaven. God also shows mercy by actively helping those who are miserable due to circumstances beyond their control. So sometimes, you know, it's not our fault. It's just a circumstance that happens in our life, you know. You're driving in a car. You get hit by another car. All of a sudden, you're in a bad way for a long time, or maybe never recover from it, you know. And those are circumstances, but God still gets us through it. Somehow, some way, I don't know how he does that. I don't know what I would do if I lost my eyesight or whatever, some physical thing in my life. But somehow God would get me through it if I put my trust in him, right? We see this aspect of mercy, especially in the life of our Lord Jesus. He healed blind men and lepers. These acts of healing grew out of his attitude of compassion and mercy. Finally, because God is merciful, he expects his children to be merciful. So the question is this morning, are you merciful? Are you a person of mercy? Are you a person of compassion? Or are you a renegade? You know, and I fall into the renegade category most of the time, but God just has a way of bringing me back. And he uses many, many ways to do that in my life. And I know he will for you, you know. So compassion is the meaning of passion with someone, with someone, or to enter sympathetically into one's sorrow and pain. You know, a lot of times we see people that are really hurting, but we don't want to get involved because that means, you know, we got to do something, you know. And I don't know. I can't answer for you, you know, but I know in my life that God has put people in my life, and when I act upon it, God has blessed me. You know, when I put out whatever, everything for it or for that reason or for that person, God has blessed me in my life. And I'm better for it because I've learned, I've grown spiritually strong, and I'm able to help another person come to know Jesus or grow spiritually strong in their lives or just be a better person, you know. And that's what we all want, isn't it? Isn't that what we want in our lives, to be a better person, to be a better Christian, to be an example for the dying world out there in our lives, you know. So it's a blessing if we want to go for it. In Matthew 20, 30, 31 to 34, Lord, have mercy on us, son of David. Stopping, Jesus called them and said, what do you want me to do for you? They said to him, Lord, let our eyes be open. And Jesus, in pity, touched their eyes, and immediately they recovered their sight and followed him. Now, what do you think those blind people did when that happened? You know, first of all, they heard about Jesus. They heard that he could do something. So they went to him and asked him. But when it happened, what do you think happened in their lives? You think they became sinners and went down the wrong road after that? No, God's love and compassion healed their eyesight. And for the first time in their lives, they could see. And I can't imagine what that would be like, because I've always been able to see, physically see. You know, spiritually see, that's a different story, but physically see. And they saw Jesus, and they saw what he did for them, and they were just blessed out of their socks. And what happened? They turned and went and told others, right? And others came to know Jesus because of what happened to them. Why? Because they knew them, right? They saw them. They knew them. They knew they were blind, but all of a sudden these guys can see. And their whole attitude is different from what it was when they couldn't see, you know. And that's what Jesus wants us to be like, a servant of the living God. And it's like, I don't know how that happens. I don't know how God can do these things through us, but I know that he can. You know, I've seen physical healings in my own eyes. I've seen it, you know. I've seen people with a broken leg get up and walk, you know. And it was just an amazing thing. You know, diseases healed, cancer gone, you know, just things like that. Not only seen it, I've heard about it from other people that I've known in my lifetime, you know. And God wants you to be a servant to him. Not forced, but wanting to be. You know, you want to serve God willingly. You don't want to be forced. Nobody wants to be forced into doing something. And if you try to force me, you're bucking horns with a big bull, because I won't do it. You know, I'm not that way. I don't like that. I will do things for people. You know, in my work, when I was working, you know, I had no problem being under a boss and doing things. But there were certain things that I put my foot down on, and that was it. You're not going to move me. I'm dogmatic. I've been told that, you know, so it's like, okay. Whatever dogmatic really means, you know, I know that it's stubborn to me, right? It's stubborn. And God doesn't want me to be stubborn. He wants me to be a servant to every one of you here. And I try to do that. I don't always pass the test, but that's what I want to do with my life. And I know that's what you guys want to do with your life. So if you're here this morning and you don't have that desire in your life, then you need to take a look at it, you know. And usually it's you're not in the Word, you know. And we need to be in the Word, because that's where we learn God's love for us, is in God's Word. And, you know, God wants us to be in his Word. We need to know his Word so that when we need to use it, we have it. And when someone tries to deceive you out there, you know, no, that's not right. You know what I mean? When you see these little sayings they say out there about, you know, well, God loves those who help themselves, you know. Well, I've never found that in the Bible, and I don't think God wants me to help myself to your money. You know what I mean? And he's going to help me do it. You know, go walk in the bank, he's going to help me rob the bank. He's going to help me whatever, you know. God, that's not true. But you need to know the Word so that you can protect yourself from that danger. And so when we're there and we're trying to pray for somebody that we love, and you know, you guys all have family members that you want to come to Jesus, right? But it's your life. It's how you live. It's what you say and what you do that's going to win those people. Because for one thing, with family especially, they know you. They know you from before. They know that you was an alcoholic or a drug addict or a liar or a thief or whatever you was into, you know. They know you, and God knows you. But the difference between them and God, God has compassion on you. So what does he do? He works these little things into your life to make you realize your fault, your problem, your situation in your life, and how miserable you really are, even though you think you're great, you know. I've been around guys at work that they think, oh, man, they're just a catch me out. But when the hard time comes, they're coming to you with no one around, and they're asking you questions because they know their life is miserable. You know, I had a guy when I was out there painting one day, doing a garage door over here, and he was doing a garage door over there. He's talking real loud about this weekend, not this weekend, but at that time, about he was going to go out and drink and this bud's for you and all that other stuff. And he was just talking loud enough so I could hear him, okay? And then finally, I got tired of listening to him, and I go, well, you better enjoy it because there ain't no Budweiser in hell. The guy shut right up, you know? You know, and sometimes that's what it takes. And then later on, I heard that he became a Christian. And I don't know if it's because of what I said, because I said not just that time, a few different times I've talked to him. But praise the Lord that he now knows Jesus, right? And he's probably telling someone else. And that's what we want. Chain reaction, right? To Jesus, to Jesus. Everything is to Jesus in our lives. So when you have compassion, you know, you see somebody that's hurting in a certain situation and you can help and you help, what happens, right? That person, all of a sudden, you know, well, this guy or this woman, they really care about me. They're not phony like the rest of them out there. And that's Jesus, right? He's not phony like the rest of them. He'll level with you. He'll bring you to your knees. He'll give you peace. He'll give you joy. But he's always the same. He doesn't change, you know. And I heard a guy say one time that Jesus may not be there when you want him, but he's always right on time. And he is, isn't he? He's always right in time in our lives. When we stop the slip, boom, what does he do? He puts someone there. He puts something there, whatever. And he brings us back to where we should be on the right path to God. You know, so it's really up to us as far as whether we want to serve and obey or not. You know, it's up to Jesus to save us, and he did, but it's up to us to follow. He doesn't pull you by a rope. He doesn't put a hook in your nose and drag you. He doesn't chain you up and handcuff you, right? Willingly, lovingly, understanding, you know, just being drawn by the love of Jesus in your life. And we can't deny it. If you truly know Jesus, right, you can't deny his love in your life. There's nothing that you can say that is going to deny the love of Jesus Christ in your life, because he's an amazing God, you know, and he's created every one of us. And when I think of the creation, you know, it just, that's another factor that just blows me away. I was on a painting a custom home years ago down in Southern California, and a tile guy that I knew, his name was Bob, real nice guy. One day he was talking about evolution, you know, and to someone. And so after the other guy left, I walked up to him. I go, Bob, I go, you really believe in evolution? He goes, yeah. I go, so you believe that we came from a monkey? He goes, yeah. I said, well, can I ask you a question? He says, what's that? And I says, how come the monkeys today are not changing into man? What'd they do, get tired of it? And he looked at me with this dumb look, and he goes, wow, I have never thought about that before. So he quit believing in monkeys as far as, you know. Now, I don't know if he ever got saved or not because I haven't seen the guy in over 30 years. And then I thought about that later. I go, you know, it's just something simple. But yet it registered in his mind that that is not true. You know, because they can believe it out there. They can believe a lot of things. And as you guys know for yourself, your own family members can believe some off-the-wall things. But when we're compassionate and we're merciful and we're thinking like Christ, we can do a lot of things that man cannot do on his own, only through Christ. Amen? So it's just, when I read that thing there, I thought, wow, that's really amazing, Lord, because I never think about myself being a compassionate and a merciful type person. You want to know? Because I'm tough. You know what I mean? I'm tough and I'm mean and I'm, you know, in reality. But in Christ, I'm loving and I'm serving and I'm disciplined and I'm all these things that I'm not when I'm not in Christ, you know. And I can tell right away. I might want to hide it from someone, but I can tell. And my wife can tell too, right away. And she's not afraid to tell me, you know. And I love that because I need that in my life, you know. You need it in your life because we all get that way sometimes. Maybe not as bad as others or whatever if you want to consider, but here's the thing. Don't ever look at it like, well, I'm not as bad as that person. Because whether you steal $1 million or you steal a penny, you still stole and you broke God's law. Doesn't make any difference the amount. It's that you broke the law. And that's the difference with us and the non-believer. The law is a whole law. If you break one, right, you broke all of them. When I heard that the first time, I thought, wow. You know, I never did this, but I did do this. So I still broke the law because it's a whole law. It's God's law, not our law, God's law. And when we break one law, we broke all of it. Because if you take a piece of pie, you take one piece out, now you don't have a whole pie, right? And that pie is not whole. And that law is not whole when you stop breaking the law here and there. And we say, well, it's just a little lie or it's just a little, you know. That's not the point. The point is you broke God's law. And that doesn't mean that God hates you. It doesn't mean anything like that. God loves you no matter what. But you need to see it in your life. You need to realize it. You need to admit it to God. And God will heal that in your life. You're struggling with some kind of sin in your life? Who do you take it up with? Not me. You know, because I have no control over it. But God does. Amen? I'm not yelling at you guys, trust me. Because when I say it to you, I'm looking right here at me. Because it's so easy for me to get off track, you know. I know it's hard for you to believe that. You know, when you walk around holy and righteous and pious like me, you know, it's hard to believe something like that, isn't it? You know, but it's a proven fact. And, you know, Jesus doesn't want us to be like that. He wants us to be loving and kind, merciful, with compassion. You know. Now, I never really understood that word compassion until I started doing this. You know. I mean, I know what it meant, but it's one thing knowing what it means and understanding what it means. You know, that physical compassion that you have for a person. Because there's people out there that I've met, and I know you probably have too, when you start talking about the homeless, it's like, oh man, I don't want to go over there and do, the guy's got puke all over his body and this and that, he stinks, he's this and that. But God, if God sends you, you need to do it, you know. And I was talking to a guy I know, and he did that a lot with the homeless people in his job. It was part of his job was the homeless people. And he was telling me that when he first started, it was like, oh, God, he really, you know, but after he got to know them personally and started to work with them, he started to realize, you know, they were people just like him. And, you know, tough situation, tough thing to do, but God wants us to be that way. No favorites, no choices, you know, all or none. Amen? Okay, I won't keep you much longer because it's hot and I'm up here sweating and I can't take this heat. Give me the cold weather again, you know, because this 100 degree with humidity that you guys say you don't have out here, you know, I'm sorry to tell you, you got a lot of humidity. So I don't want to keep you any longer. But anyway, I just wanted to say that. And God's telling you through me, which is a great thing. You know, I want to serve you. I want to love you guys like myself. And I want all of us to be that way. And I know most of you guys, I know that generally you guys are all like that. You know, I don't know what your personal lives are like or, you know, those kind of dealings. But just remember, God's people belong to Jesus, and so do you. And we're all one in the Spirit, so no one's better than anybody else. And if you happen to be fortunate and live up on the hill or down in the dump, whatever the situation is, you're still God's chosen people. Amen? All right. God bless you guys. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord. We just thank you, Father, for all you have to say, Lord, and do. Lord, help us to be compassionate and merciful people, Father. Help us to be loving and kind, Lord. Fill us with your wisdom and your knowledge, Lord, that we may grow spiritually strong, Lord, to serve and obey you and to glorify you in all our lives, Father, till you come to get us, Lord. We just praise you and thank you, Lord, and just put upon our hearts, Lord, anything that you want us to do. In Jesus' name, amen.